Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Powell to the People, live on HealthyLife.net. I'm Wayne Powell, and we have a really exciting and informative show for you today. We have Sylvia Gayed, owner and CEO of Manhattan Tax and Accounting, who will be giving us timely tax information and tax tips. Welcome, Sylvia.
Thank you, Wayne.
Okay, well, you know, people are starting to get their 1099s, 1098s, and W-2 forms in the mail. So that means just one thing. It's tax season, and April 15th is coming up, and the clock is ticking. First of all, I want to tell you a little bit about Sylvia. She's been the owner of Manhattan Tax and Accounting in Manhattan Beach, California, for 11 years. She has a Bachelor of Science in Accounting and Finance from California State University, Northridge. She worked as a senior financial analyst at Universal Music Publishing and as a financial controller at the international CPA firm of Deloitte Consulting. Sylvia's firm provides accounting and tax services for individuals, businesses, corporations, and LLCs, and this includes tax preparation, tax planning, bookkeeping, payroll, and business incorporation. Okay, April 15th. Is not that far away. It seems like it is, but time flies when you're having a good time. Sylvia is here to provide general tax information and tips. But as always, you should consult your personal tax professional for specific tax information and tax advice. Okay, so let's get started. First of all, Sylvia, tell us about the important new tax changes for individuals this year.
Well, there are a few changes that are happening this year. The first thing is the personal exemption is now at $4,000 for single and or for per person. We also have the mileage, the business mileage of 57.5 cents per mile, as well as the charitable miles are now 14 cents, and the medical miles are 23 cents per mile. We also have changes as far as the health care penalties. So if you did not carry health insurance for at least 9 months out of the year, and if you're single, you're looking at $395 in penalty, $325 in penalty, and as well as $795 if you are a family. And these actually, or 2% of your taxable income, whichever is greater. And these actually will go up even in 2016 to more than these amounts.
And if you don't calculate the penalty yourself, I'm sure the IRS would be glad to do it for you.
Yeah, and they have been. They've been catching a lot of people who haven't been, especially the ones that filed their own taxes and were not so aware of that or did not know which forms to fill out or populate on their tax return. The IRS has been sending out a lot of letters to taxpayers, and they've calculated, and basically they'll just send them like a bill for it.
And if you don't have the required health insurance under Obamacare, I hear that at least if you do get insurance by January 31st, it reduces the penalty somewhat.
That is true. That is correct. And a lot of times, like even us, tax professionals, we have, because we're preparing tax returns for our clients, we also are held liable in some aspects in this. So when I meet my clients, typically that's one of the first questions that I ask in our initial meeting, if they've carried insurance, and I usually include it as part of my engagement letter for them to actually fill out and sign that they've carried it or how many months they've carried it per year, just to make sure that everything gets reported accurately in terms of, the health care penalty.
And I noticed the very first year it went into effect on the 1040, there was a line there just to jar your memory loose or at least prompt you if you did have insurance, and you had it as required,
mm-hmm.
then you just check the
right.
box. Otherwise, then it sends you to a form or at least a calculation that you have to do.
That's exactly correct. And actually, this year, the deadline for the tax filing for individuals is April 18, not 15. So they've extended to the 18th this year.
Is that because April 15th falls out on a holiday
or
something?
It falls on a Friday, but it's a government holiday, so it's carried to that following Monday, the 18th.
Ah, okay, that's good to know. So is all income taxable, or is there some income that's not taxable?
Definitely, there are some income that's not taxable. For example, your child support that people sometimes pay for their children, welfare income, life insurance proceeds, personal injury income. Those are different types of income. Some of them are maybe also gifts or inheritance, some awards. So not every income is taxable.
But inheritance, then, is there an estate tax, which is a separate type of tax?
Yes, that's a separate type of tax completely. But as to the donee themselves, they don't pay any taxes on that inheritance. Now, the exception to that is obviously if they received an inheritance in an IRA, then that's an exception. As they withdraw the IRA, they'll have to pay the taxes on it.
Mm-hmm. One question I get from all of my older adult friends and colleagues is Social Security taxable, and when is it taxable, and just in general terms, how do you know how much of it should be taxed?
Yes, Social Security is taxable, but it's subject to if you're single and your adjusted gross income is $25,000, then it's 50% taxable. If you're single and it's $34,000 adjusted gross income, then it's 85% is taxable. So it really falls down to what the threshold of your income is.
But if all you have is just Social Security, then it's probably not likely to be taxable.
That
it won't
correct.
Be.
Yes.
It's only if you have other income on top of that.
Other end income, yes.
So then that kicks you up in the brackets, and it also causes a portion of Social
Security. To be taxable, yeah.
Wow. Well, you know, most people don't like to talk about income.
Yep.
Usually they want to talk about deductions and tax credits. So let's get into that. What's the difference between itemized deductions and standard deduction?
So a standard deduction is typically something just the IRS gives to every taxpayer, and it's $6,300 for a single and usually $12,600 for married filing jointly. The itemized gives more benefits and more deductions to the individual depending if they do have items to be able to itemize. For example, the number one deductible item on itemization is usually mortgage interest, and that's one of the things that the American taxpayers still get to enjoy.
They've been talking about eliminating
yes,
that.
Yes, they have been
Congress
for quite
says.
Some time now, absolutely. But until now, they have not, you know, they've kept it and left it alone. So mortgage interest, property taxes, those are two reasons why, among other deductions, that people should itemize versus taking the standard deduction. Now, there are some deductions also in the itemization that people are not aware of. Some of these deductions are maybe your DMV registration that you pay every year. Some people are not taking advantage of that, and you are eligible to be able to deduct it if you itemize. Also, charitable contributions or even donations that they give to different charities or to even homeless services. A lot of people are not aware of those items, but, yeah, itemization is definitely the way to go if you have enough deductions to be able to claim it, and it will take you above the $6,300 standard deduction.
So let's talk about charitable contributions, because sometimes people think, oh, well, I donate a lot of my time to various charities. Maybe I should be able to deduct the value of my time. What's the answer to that?
Unfortunately not. IRS does not allow deduction of the value of our time. That's really one misconception. A lot of people think that we should be able to, but IRS has not come out with any tax laws allowing us to deduct this as of yet.
But, of course, mileage to and from the charitable.
Absolutely. Mileage, any cash donations that you have receipts for, that's for charities. Like if you bought, or actually for homeless service, if you bought certain food or meals to the homeless, you can deduct that. The best ones usually are the ones that you deduct. You can write checks out to various organizations or, you know, charities, nonprofits. And, usually you'll have a receipt from them, or you'll have a letter at the end of the year that just shows the total contributions you've made throughout the year.
Mm-hmm. Now, people oftentimes, well, first of all, does the charity have to be a registered 501c3 organization?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We have to be registered, in good standing with the IRS, and they are not non-for-profit.
So if you gave money to a homeless person, that would not qualify as a charitable deduction?
No, it would not.
People often ask me, well, we know that you're an accountant, and it's like, yeah, but I don't do taxes. But they'll always ask me, you know, I gave donations of property to Goodwill. I put it in their box or left it outside, but I didn't get a receipt. And they want to know if they can deduct that.
And as sad as this will sound, the answer is no. Unless you have a receipt to prove for your deduction in the day that you deducted and location, and also it spells out the items that you have deducted, you cannot deduct it.
And
so that's just really the rule.
And how do you determine what the fair market reasonable value is?
A lot of people use like thrift shops, or they go to comparable sales, or they go online, look at those items maybe on eBay or different websites to get just kind of like an idea of what the fair market value would be for their items. Typically, I advise my clients, please make a good list, clear list. Usually, they'll do it on Excel spreadsheets. Just list all each item that's being donated, what they have, if they can, what they have paid for it as their cost basis, and also what the fair market value that they were able to find from the research. But comparable sales will do the job.
And if it's over a certain threshold, you actually have to get a letter or a document from the donee stating what the value is?
Correct. So if it's over $5,000, and this is usually on vehicles or even properties, I've had clients who actually did donate their timeshare, and that's substantial donation. So they had to get a letter from the organization itself, and they usually would have an appraisal as well. So it's not just a letter, it's not just the value, fair market value, but at this point an appraisal would be required.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes people are feeling very charitable during the holidays, and they'll drop, you know, money in the Salvation Army, the bucket.
Yeah.
And they said, yeah, I gave $10 on this day, $20 on that day, and before I knew it, I had actually given $1,000. Can I deduct that?
And the answer is no. Unless you have the proof of it, anything that's in cash, and you have no way to prove that you put this money in there, and you donate it, you cannot deduct it. You have to have an actual, like, the only exception is, like, if it's below $250, you can use your own checks as proof that you've donated this money. But anything above $250, you would need to get a letter from the organization itself. Now, one more thing I'd like to add here, because this is something that maybe a lot of people are not aware of. Often, in the charitable contributions, some of church organizations, they do provide actually, or they do some missionary service trips. Sometimes they're medical related, sometimes they're not, and it's whether it's here in the U.S. or outside the U.S. These trips, the cost of the trip itself, as well as the lodging and any donation that's related to the trip, is actually tax deductible. And a lot of people are not aware that you can take that deduction. So it makes it very advantageous for people to be able to still enjoy doing charitable work and be able to get the write-off for that particular trip.
Ah. Are there any odd types of itemized deductions that, maybe the average person might not be aware of?
Yes, there is some items like job hunting expenses. You can actually deduct those. Many people are not aware of that. The one that some people may and may not be aware of is unreimbursed employee expenses. So that's if you work for a company and you are a W-2 employee, but you are required or asked by your employer to work some time from home versus have an office that you go to, then there are some expenses you can write off on there, and it's under their unreimbursed expenses. Also, your tax preparation fee is one item that you can also deduct. There is various things, moving expenses, that you can write up, but that doesn't come really right on the itemization itself.
Mm-hmm. People are always trying to come up with deductions. I remember one year people would use a home office deduction in the IRS. You know, that would tend to flag your return
True.
For an audit. What are the rules about, you know, being able to deduct home office-related expenses?
So the rule of the business use of home deduction is that your employer, for example, people are employed by some corporations, but they're not local here in California, and they cannot go to a physical office. So then they are required by the employer to work from their home. In that, they are entitled completely take 100% of their business use of home deduction. Now, when we talk about business use of home, we're talking about the office that's being used and just for the business. So it cannot be an office that we use for some entertainment and some work. It cannot be a room that it has to be a room set aside and separate as being an office and furnished as an office, and that's where you would do the work, and that's the one that you would get a deduction for.
So if you use it 50-50, you can't take like half of it. It has to be solely and exclusively just for business.
Absolutely. Use. Exclusive use. Absolutely.
Another question I get asked frequently is, you know, I have a car lease, and it's not in connection with the business. Can I deduct the car lease payments?
No. I'm sorry. But no. So the deduction of any car usage, whether it's leased or purchased, it really has to be in connection with the business that you have. It could be whether it's a sole proprietor or a corporation, doesn't matter, but it has to be associated and tied to a business that you currently run.
And then you can deduct the lease, you could deduct depreciation, all kinds
yes.
of things.
Yes. So on the lease, you typically don't get depreciation. You'll get depreciation if you purchase the vehicle itself.
Right.
But yeah, if you have a business, you can deduct the actual lease payment, the insurance, your also your any gas that you pay for, your repairs that you pay for, oil change and car wash and all of this good stuff. But also we have to remember that it depends on the percentage of the use. So for the car itself, if it's 100% used for the business and you have a second car that you use for personal use, then yes, you can take 100% of it. If it's only one car, then you can only take a percentage of that deduction depending on the mileage that you've actually driven throughout the year for the business.
And alternatively, you could use the IRS mileage tables, although it probably would be more advantageous to itemize.
Yes, actually, when we prepare the tax return, we have I ask my clients for their business miles that they've tracked throughout the year, and also the regular mileage that they've driven, business and personal. And I also ask them for the expenses, the actual expenses. And typically, I try to by inputting both information, I try to see what's more advantageous for the client to be able to use. There's one catch, though, that if you start using the actual method for deduction of vehicle, then you must continue to use that method until you retire that vehicle or you replace it or close the business. But you cannot go back to standard deduction, a standard mileage deduction.
So once you make that election, you're stuck with it. You can't.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay, well, so that covers most of the itemized deductions where you're typically only getting a percentage of what you're itemizing. Let's talk about credits, because credits are almost, or in many cases, a one-for-one, dollar-to-dollar deduction. And, of course, there's the earned income credit, child tax credit, and dependent care. Talk about those.
So the earned income credit is mainly designed for very low income individual or family or head of household. So typically for an individual, you must make less than like $6,800 in income to be eligible, with no children, to be eligible for like $500 of earned income credit. And then it varies. It goes up from there depending on if you have one child, so it's $9,300 or $9,800. I can't remember exactly the range of the dollar figure, but it goes up from there. So it's typically a credit, and it's a refundable credit. It's between $500 and $6,200. So you can potentially, if you have two children or more, you can potentially get up to $6,200. But again, it depends on the income, and it phases out at $23,000, just a gross income.
And so if you have cats and dogs and birds and they're like family to you, you can do that. You can get that credit as well.
Wayne, I wish I can. I have a dog myself and I love him dearly, but I can't deduct him. So I'm hoping maybe someday IRS will actually consider that.
And you can't take.
And they're very expensive too.
That's right. And you can't take them as a dependent either.
No, unfortunately not. No. That's an odd dependence for us.
at least
for tax purposes.
Although I'm sure people have tried. Well, you actually nowadays, I think you have to list not only their name, but their social security number as well.
correct.
So the best type of credits are refundable credits. Talk about those.
So we have the child tax credit, which most individuals can enjoy if their income is below a certain threshold. And these tax credits, it's partially refundable, partially non-refundable. So there is the child tax credit, and attached to it is an additional child tax credit, which is up to $1,000 of refundable money. And those credits, the nice thing about them is it's a dollar for a dollar. So it actually, we figure out first what's your tax liability is, and those credits offset part or maybe even all the tax liability. Now, in case of a child tax credit, an additional child tax credit, if the amount of the credit is higher than the amount of tax that's being owed, then you would have a portion that's refundable to you. Mm-hmm. Now, again, it phases out depending on the adjusted gross income of the single or the family, married, filing jointly. So nowadays, actually, most households with two income, unfortunately, they get phased out of that credit. But it's good to still be able to, still be able to enjoy it for some families with certain adjusted gross income. And also, it's $1,000 per kid, so it's a great credit still.
And if you're very fortunate enough to be very wealthy, your credits and deductions and a lot of things get phased out, and then there's an alternate minimum tax and all kinds of nasty things.
Yeah.
So the harder you work, the more money you make. Sometimes you're penalized.
It seems like it, actually, and I've been seeing it a lot, and it's kind of tough because also a lot of taxpayers may not be aware of the Affordable Care Act, of two important taxes that came out of that act of 2013. And it started actually, our taxes in 2014, that was the first year we started to have those taxes, which is the additional Medicare tax, and that's typically a 0.9% of your income that's above the $200,000 for single and $250,000 adjusted gross income for married filing jointly. We also have the net investment income tax, which is a 3.8%. That's basically a tax that's just exclusive onto any interest or dividends that you have earned throughout the year. And again, it hits you right when you reach the 200, the whole 200 adjusted gross income for single and 250 for married filing jointly. And a lot of people, I mean, I've been getting hit with it, and they're not even aware. So when they come to prepare the tax return, they're not even aware that they're going to be facing that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like, you know, something to actually think ahead and consider, which what we discuss sometimes in my tax planning sessions with my clients.
So if you see that you're earning income and you have all of these other things, or if you're planning to sell stock or whatever, sometimes that's a very good tax planning tool just to keep under the thresholds.
Absolutely.
Although most people generally don't think about that until it's too late when they're actually filing their tax returns.
Very true. Very true.
All right. Well, we have a lot more tax stuff to cover, but we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Powell to the People on HealthyLife.net.
All your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer in webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now this same technology is available to you. They have the best Earthcast encoders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait, don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. EarthChannel.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now. So come to EarthChannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call earthchannel.com at 1-800-849-8978. That's 1-800-849-8978.
What does HealthyLife.net and Amazon.com have in common? Well, they're both available on the Internet. They both give great value. But most important, most of our positive program hosts and guests are accomplished authors. And their books are available from, you got it, Amazon.com. Now, it even gets better than that. Because when you're listening on air to a HealthyLife.net host or guest, you can go directly to Amazon.com and you can order your book while you're still listening to your favorite HealthyLife.net program. So when you hear an author you like, go to the homepage of HealthyLife.net and click on Amazon.com. These shoes are made for walking, jumping, running, and just plain style. Over 32,000 styles. Skechers, an award-winning global leader in lifestyle footwear. And now you can get Skechers without walking, jumping, or running. You can get them by clicking. Scroll down HealthyLife.net's homepage and click. You can check out Skechers, high-quality shoes in styles for men, women, and children. So get in style. Get Skechers today and start walking, running, jumping, and strutting in style.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Welcome back. You're listening to Powell to the People live on the radio. Wayne Powell here, and I'm with Sylvia Gayed, owner and CEO of Manhattan Tax and Accounting. Okay, so this is one that I frequently get asked a lot. I either have people working for me or I'm working for someone else, and I need to know what the difference is between a W-2 employee and a 1099 independent contractor. And, you know, there's two different forms.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you get in the mail. You either get a W-2 form or a 1099. Can you explain the difference between an employee and an independent contractor?
Yeah, and there is definitely a big difference between the two. I mean, the major difference is the taxes. So if you are a W-2, you're employed by a corporation or a company or a sole proprietor, and they pay half of your taxes, which is your FICA and Medicare, on your behalf.
FICA being Social Security.
Correct. So Security and Medicare on your behalf, and then you pay the other half from your own earnings. And when you're at 1099, then you pay the whole entire amount. And that amount is like 15.3%. So a lot of individuals that are 1099, they are not aware of that 15.3%. So when it's time to file their taxes, then they're up against this nice big tax bill. And sometimes they are surprised and not prepared for it. And those 1099s individuals, which is our independent contractor or sole proprietors, typically they would be required to do a quarterly estimate, which is four times a year, to be able to pay a portion of that tax, which basically, because the IRS is a cash-based system, they would like to get their money as the individuals earn the money. Now,
before they have a chance to spend it.
Correct.
They don't have.
And then they come against and they can't even pay them. Now, in this situation with 1099s, depending on the industry and depending on what they are doing, I might recommend or I might be able to give them some tips on how we can save on these self-employment taxes. For example, if they are starting a new business, okay, and they can be a sole proprietor, they may not get a 1099, or they might get 1099, for example, like graphic designers, architects, some of these contractors, some of these individuals. So then I usually would talk to them and see if they're continuing in that business for the following year, or what else can we do to try to save on this tax situation. And then often they might need to become an S-Corp. That's one of the selected entities that individuals or taxpayers usually like to form. And with an S-Corp, which is subchapter S, shareholder corporation, they can enjoy to still be able to have their business and be able to the expenses that they usually take advantage of, with the exception that on their self-employment taxes, it's usually reduced. They still have to do a payroll for themselves, but the amount of payroll is usually substantially less, depending on what their net profit is going to be for that corporation.
In some businesses, people get most of their income based on tips. And the IRS doesn't like you if that's the case. And they have standard tables with averages. And if you report less than what the average is, they're going to come after you.
Yes.
Even if you were a bad waiter or waitress and you got very little tips, they'll think you actually should have got more. Explain how that works.
Yes. They have there's different rates that they use for waiters or waitresses as far as tips. And it's already assumed by the IRS that you will make this X amount of dollars. So if you report below that rate, then you'll end up actually getting a letter from IRS, and they will ask you to pay the difference for that money. And unfortunately, a lot of the waiters and waitresses think that, I only have to pay taxes on what I've earned. Well, that's not the case. And the reason IRS came up with a lot of these regulations is obviously a lot of them has not been reporting or were not reporting, or there were errors even on the employer side where they did not correctly report the tips for the individuals. I mean, I have seen this, and even in my own practice, where new clients came to me and they've had a problem with their payroll company that they did not do the correct reporting of all the payroll for individuals, and it could be various reasons why this happened, but it does happen. And then at the end, obviously the taxpayer or the waiter or waitress is responsible for the tips that they've earned.
So let's say now you filed your return. And, of course, you can do it electronically, online, or you can do a paper return. When should someone expect to get their refunds, if they're getting a refund?
So if they file it electronically, typically it's usually about 10 working days for federal, and then maybe the same for state, but usually one of them comes faster or sooner than the other. Now, if you file it with paper return, then typically it can take up to maybe 4 weeks for you or maybe 6 weeks for you to get your refund.
And does that depend on when you file? If you file closer to April 15th, where all of a sudden now there's a lot of returns coming in, more paperwork to process, does that take, maybe it takes longer to get your refund?
Absolutely. It delays the process because everybody now is trying to also file their tax returns. So then the IRS and state is very backed up with all the taxpayers' returns. So it takes longer. So that 10 working days, that becomes maybe 3 weeks, 15 working days. Or if it's a paper return, then it will take definitely up to the 6 weeks to get the refunds.
If you got a large refund, you should be happy in some respects, but not so happy because you didn't really do very good tax planning because you gave Uncle Sam a tax-free loan for a while.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's where the tax planning comes very handy. Also, a lot of people that file and get, I find people who are just W-2, they have more of a straightforward tax returns. They like to enjoy the refunds earlier. So I always recommend that if you're a W-2, maybe you have a couple of deductions, maybe even if you itemize, come, the sooner you file your tax return, the faster and sooner you will get your refund if you're eligible for one. So that's just one tip for taxpayers.
But then there's the individual who procrastinates and then almost the day before it's due or the day it's due says, oh my gosh, what am I going to do now? Talk about filing extensions.
So we do have an option for individuals. Typically, tax returns are due April 15, and this year it's April 18. But we do have a six-month extension, so we can actually file an extension for individuals. And that's instead of being April 15, it will be October 15. And they can still be able to file it. Now, there is one catch, though. If you are an individual expecting a refund, then no problem. But if you're an individual and you have a tax liability due, it's an extension to file, and that's many taxpayers get this confused.
But not an extension to pay.
That's correct. That is exactly correct. Not an extension to pay, which means your penalties will continue to accrue on that tax liability that you're balance that you're carrying forward, even if it hasn't been calculated yet. So the IRS will go back. Whenever you file the tax return, they'll go back and calculate this penalty from the time that the tax return was due. Now, I actually, if believe it or not, Wayne, I have seen taxpayers who haven't filed taxes in 2 and 3 and 4 years. And it's good. It might be a good point to mention that if you are eligible for a refund, you can go back as far as 3 years to claim that refund. But if you haven't filed taxes in 4 years and you're eligible for a refund in that fourth year, it's gone. You will never see it.
The statute of limitations.
Absolutely. Statute of limitation will limit you on going that far back. So I always advise taxpayers, talk to your tax professional, get the help that you need. Even if you can't, crisis happens to everybody. Sometimes they can't get to the tax to file the tax returns within the deadline. Sometimes they have an issue. Sometimes they're out of the country, whatever the situation is. But call and check with your tax professional and get the right advice to make sure that you don't miss out on some of these tax statutes and statute of limitations on there.
But then if it's not an extension to pay, but it's only for your filing, how would you know how much you have to pay if you haven't done your tax return?
So typically what happens is we take a look and see how much, I look at the tax documents. We do a partial tax return. Okay, it might be missing. A lot of times maybe they're missing a K-1 that they haven't received. Okay, so they usually get an estimate from, from them.
Okay. We're going to take another quick break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Powell to the People on HealthyLife.net.
If you're in Southern California, you might want to consider HealthyLife.net Radio for advertising. We have 18 hosts that have shows with loyal listeners just in Southern California. That means you get local advertising and the world for the same affordable price. With packages for every budget, you can't afford not to let that economic sun shine in for your business. Call now, 1-800-555-5453. That's 1-800-555-5453.
When you need quality auto Parts Warehouse is fast and easy. Always get the part that fits. Just enter your vehicle type to find the parts specific to your car. Auto body parts, mirrors, brakes, suspension and steering, engines and drivetrains. Need something yet? What about exterior and interior accessories or headlights? Auto Parts Warehouse has them. Top brands, great prices. Visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Auto Parts Warehouse.
Dwayne Johnson here. The earthquakes you see in movies are one thing, but real life is a completely different animal. Just because you can't predict an earthquake doesn't mean that you can't prepare for one. In the event of a real earthquake, you should drop, cover, and hold off. Visit ready.gov/earthquake and practice what to do to keep you and your family safe in the event of a real earthquake, and you'll be seen as a hero by your family and your loved ones.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
All positive talk with a mature edge. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back. You're listening to Powell to the People live on the radio. Wayne Powell here, and I'm with Sylvia Gayed, owner and CEO of Manhattan Tax and Accounting. Okay, so here's the worst case scenario. You've done your taxes, or someone's done your tax return for you, and you owe the IRS and the Franchise Tax Board money, but you don't have the money to pay it. What's a taxpayer to do?
I always advise them to contact the IRS or the Franchise Tax Board, or both, whichever they owe taxes to. Mm-hmm. And they need to work out an installment agreement to be able to make payments for the monthly until the balance is paid off. Now, as long as they are making the payments, they shouldn't be in any trouble. But they have to keep in mind they will continue to be earning for the IRS to charge them penalties and interest on that balance carry forward. Same with the state, also the Franchise Tax Board.
I often see on television these ads by people or companies that say, if you owe more than such and such, we will negotiate that amount in half or, you know, greatly reduce it. Is that true?
Well, it depends on your situation. And it's funny that you bring this up, because more and more, I guess, with what's happening in what happened in the economy over the years, people have asked that question. And typically, it depends on the situation, yes and no. So if you are a taxpayer and you do have assets, or you do have 401ks or retirement plans or anything that can pay, you can sell or you can liquidate and pay for the tax liability, then no, they will not negotiate with you. IRS will not discount the amount of tax liability. Now, if you're an individual that fell into the situation of the 1099 and do not have any assets, does not own a house, barely has a car to just go for their work and be able to get an earning or a living, then yes, we can negotiate with them, and we do something called offer and compromise, where we basically provide them financials for the past most recent three months. We also provide them all details about your living expenses and your monthly expenses that you pay. And we request for them to, and we typically request a settlement. So I look at the total tax liability that's owed, and I typically look at it on the situation, and we agree with the taxpayer on a certain percentage that they are able to pay. And in an offer and compromise, if it's accepted, then they make you pay it over 5 months. So you make an initial payment with the application, then they'll pay the rest over 5 months. But again, it depends on the situation of the taxpayer. The IRS will approve that, or the Franchise Tax Board.
But they don't immediately garnish your wages, confiscate all your assets, and then send someone over with a baseball bat to give you an attitude adjustment?
Oh, well, you know, Wayne, they do. It depends on the situation. So in payroll taxes, which is a liability for the employer, the IRS is getting better at it, if they are behind like a year in payroll taxes, which is a lot of time, a long time, the officers will show up to the business themselves, and they will actually, start requiring for them to pay these liabilities within like a 10 days. The IRS has a lot of power. They can levy bank accounts if they want. They can garnish wages if they have any doubt that you are planning to evade taxes or run away from your tax liability. Now, typically, they don't get to this point unless the taxpayers have ignored their notices. So typically, the first thing they do is, nicely, they send a letter, a request for payment. If the taxpayer ignores this letter, then typically they get another letter about between 30 and 60 days after that. And it says that it's final now, and you've got to pay it. If the taxpayer continue to ignore this letter for one reason or another, without calling them, contacting them, explaining, trying to ask for time, requesting installment agreement without any communication, they will start sending them a notice for intent to levy their accounts, or even possibly, depending on the tax liability, to place a lien on any property or asset, or even just a lien on the county recorder office.
Mm-hmm. But if you get a phone call allegedly from the IRS, it's a scam, because the IRS doesn't call taxpayers, and there's a lot of scams out there getting you to, you know, make a payment immediately, you know, with a debit card or something, you know, a wire transfer, and the IRS doesn't operate that way.
Absolutely not. IRS does not call taxpayers. And this is definitely a scam that's going around, has been increasing and on the rise. And IRS had set aside just a division. It's named TIGDA, and that's just an investigation decision, a department or division that would go after those scams and try to capture those people. IRS will never ask you to pay right there and then on the spot using a credit card or a wire transfer or any methods of payment. If you are able to pay the tax liability, you will pay it online or via, the online, or you can mail them a check. Or alternatively, you will make an installment agreement, but they'll never in any instances call you to require you to pay right there and there on the spot.
So if you're like Richard Hatch, who was on, he was actually the winner of Survivor, won $1 million, didn't pay his fair share of taxes, tried to evade, he went to prison. I think Wesley Snipes went to jail as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't cheat the IRS.
Absolutely, you cannot cheat. You know, you can try to procrastinate, you can try to run as far and as long as you can, but eventually they'll catch up with you. And when they catch up with you, they have no mercy, because they've given the person, and you know, in all fairness, they've given the taxpayer a lot of opportunities to try to rectify the problem. They're trying to make them file tax returns they ignore, pay the tax liability they ignore. So best, what I always tell any taxpayer, if you receive a letter from the IRS or Franchise Tax Board, and I know how frightening sometimes it can be to receive those letters, just turn to your tax professional and get the help that you need. If you do not, I always tell them, do not ignore the letter. Ignoring them only complicates the matter. It does not resolve it. We eventually have to still address them, and we still have to rectify whatever was done wrong, or that was not done, you know, like filing the tax return timely. So worst thing you can do is to ignore these government agencies.
Well, then let's talk about legitimate ways of reducing your tax liability, and that's tax planning. Obviously, 2015 is over, but there are still some things you can do to reduce your 2015 tax liability, even though it's now 2016. Let's talk about contributions to IRAs.
Yes, and you can still make contributions into your IRA, and we're talking about, typically this is for self-employed individuals. So if you are an employee of a corporation and you have a 401k, the time for you to be able to contribute is closed. That has to be done by 12/31 of the prior year. But now if you're self-employed, or if you own a corporation, or if you have a business of some sort and you still want to get some tax savings, you can contribute into a sub-IRA, which is self-employed pension plan, all the way up to the deadline, which is the April 18 this year.
One thing that if we're now doing tax planning for 2016 is to have one of those health savings accounts, but we'll talk about that in a second. We'll have to come back right after a quick commercial break. You're listening to Powell to the People on HealthyLife.net.
Millions of Americans are without access to dental benefits, especially because of the high market demand for quality and affordable dental care in America. Now here comes DentalPlans.com. It's the leading online resource for discount dental plans and an alternative to dental insurance for families and individuals. Just visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on DentalPlans.com now and find your affordable dental care in America.
Okay, so you have a couple of days off, and you're planning to get away from stress. You may be planning to go across the world or even taking a staycation around town. Well, Hotels.com can get you a room in over 158,000 hotels, 60 countries, for 50% off. That's reducing stress already. Plus, collect 10 nights, and you'll get one night free. And there's no cancellation charges, no change fees. For the best deals, even last-minute deals, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Hotels.com.
Stuff, stuff, stuff. Where can I contain all of my stuff? How about this? The Container Store, the original storage and organization store. And I found their link on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. They have containers for everything, including the kitchen, the bathroom, trash and recycling, traveling, spring cleaning, and dorm rooms. Just about everything you can think of to contain your stuff. The Container Store, right on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
Welcome back. You're listening to Powell to the People live on the radio. Wayne Powell here, and I'm with Sylvia Gayed, owner and CEO of Manhattan Tax and Accounting. Before we went into the commercial break, I started to address a very good tax-saving mechanism, and that's the health savings account or flexible spending account. Talk about how those work.
So some employers provide flexible spending accounts as one of the benefits of cafeteria plans for their employees. And basically, it's a good way to be able to pay for some of your medical expenses, and it's pre-tax dollars. So an individual can put in there per family is $5,900 up to $5,950 for the year for the family and be able to deduct the expenses. And usually the expenses are relating to co-payments, prescriptions, surgery co-payments, things that's not health insurance related. So your health insurance itself is not pre-tax unless you work for an employer. And then they are paid as pre-tax dollars. But you cannot pay health insurance from your flexible spending or health savings account. But you can pay other items. So if you're expected to do a LASIK surgery for this year, you know, or this particular medical issue that you will be addressing this year, that's a good way to cover your expenses, and it's pre-tax, and get to enjoy that deduction.
Some people, when they look at the tax forms and it says you only have to file a tax return if you made over, you know, X amount, depending on your filing status, and people say, great, I don't have to do the paperwork. But oftentimes that's a mistake because you could have a refund.
That's absolutely correct. So the threshold is $10,300. So if you make below the $10,300 for this year, you don't have to file. However, most of the time, and now with the healthcare matter and penalty, people are required to still file or asked to file a tax return. But often they will not be able to get the earned income credit, as we were mentioning earlier, which is a refundable credit, and they also miss out on any withholdings. So if you were a W-2 and they had some withholdings, they won't be able to get it. So you still say it might be beneficial for you to file the tax return even if you earn less than $10,300. But it really varies from one situation to the other.
Wow. So now you have it. You can file your own tax return. See, we told you everything you need to do.
I don't think so.
So that gets me to my next question. Why should someone use a tax professional?
The number one reason is there's potential missing out on a lot of deductions. The tax law changes have been happening rapidly in every year, and they're getting complicated each year. So if you are an individual that likes to and enjoy to prepare your tax return and say, hey, I don't want to pay a tax professional to prepare my taxes, you know, and I got to pay them and I got to save on their tax fee, believe it or not, I mean, this tax fee is very well earned because these tax professionals try to stay up to date with all the tax law changes. So then when they're doing your tax return, they're not just punching numbers. When you are preparing your tax return, you're relying on the software and you are entering all the information thinking the software is going to catch errors or it's going to advise you if there is a deduction for you there. That doesn't happen. You basically just put in the numbers and you're taking your chances. If it creates an error, the IRS will flag your tax return. If you're missing out on deductions, then you don't get to enjoy that. So, like I was mentioning earlier, some of the deductions that people overlook a lot of times are maybe the DMV registration fees, or something as simple as when you pay your franchise tax board tax liability, you get to enjoy a deduction for it on the itemized deduction schedule for that year that you paid it in. So these items, people are not aware or may not be aware. And even if you're very savvy on preparing your own tax return, it's still not a bad idea. Have a professional take a look at it. At least you have someone that this is what they do for a living. And they try to do their best to save taxes for the client.
Now, I see H&R Block commercials where they say, you know what, we could probably find you money even if you had your tax return prepared by someone else. Why don't you take it to us to, I guess, get a second opinion? What do you think about that?
So H&R Block, and I'm not, I mean, I never talk, I never talk negative about any professional, any tax preparation office or any professionals or accountants. But again, you know, you get what you pay for. Let's just put it this way. So, you know, these are usually just individuals that just completed, you know, a course, a tax preparation course, and they just learned to how to use the software to be able to prepare your taxes. Some of them may be experienced, so they might be able to catch it. Some of the majority of them may not. So it really depends. However, it's not a bad idea if you prepare your own tax return to go to a tax professional who's experienced, who can take a look at it. Anyone aside from just those, you know, tax preparation, like, you know, right on the block, right on the corner of your block, like H&R or Liberty Taxes. So you want someone experienced to really take a look at it and be able to spot where the problem. I personally have seen clients who come to me who used to use H&R Block in the past, and I could just, as soon as they reviewed their tax return that was prepared, I could spot right there was an opportunity for them to be able to deduct a few items, and did not take advantage of it. And they are legitimate deductions for the client depending on their profession. So it's really surprised me. And in some instances, regardless of who the accounting firm that prepared it, whether H&R Block or anybody else, I've seen other tax returns where mistakes happened, and often we have to amend the tax return to correct those mistakes. So you just want to make sure you go with someone who is professional, someone who's experienced, someone who knows what they're doing, you know, and be able to help you accordingly.
And when a client comes to a tax preparer, they should perhaps be organized. Don't come with a shoebox filled with receipts and stuff. And,
yeah. And this is funny that you say this. I have some clients that actually can attest to this. And I've seen them. They've walked into my office with a shoebox. And I happily took it and with a smile and did not have a problem with it. But some other accountants, yes. I mean, I typically advise clients, the more organized you are, the better it is. Because then we're spending time looking at what can we do more, rather than spending time on organizing your paperwork. So, you know, this is where our value added is. So definitely, if you can be organized, have all your W-2s, 1099s, 1098s, mortgage interest, property taxes that you've paid, if you refied your home, you know, last year, you can actually enjoy some of these closing fees, like the loan origination cost. You can deduct it in the year that you have paid for it. So, you know, if you're organized and you have all your paperwork together, then you should be able to take advantage of all of that.
Are there any types of deductions or amounts or percentages or anything on your return that generally would make your tax return have a higher chance of being audited by the IRS?
There is multiple things on the tax return that causes it to be audited. I mean, huge fluctuations in income is a big flag for IRS. Business use of home is a big flag for the IRS. Unreimbursed employee expenses, which they go on your Schedule A, itemization, even though they're subject to the 2% floor, they still are can be big flag to IRS. So there is multiple, I mean, among other things in the tax return. There isn't really a white and black answer to this or a particular item that will flag it. But a combination of various things that can look suspicious can flag your tax return.
And what is the statute of limitations for the fact that then your tax years are closed and the IRS can't do anything to you?
They can go back as far as 3 years, and if they suspect any tax evasion or fraud, they can go back as far as the day you were born.
And that's how they convicted Al Capone. They couldn't get him on all of his nefarious stuff, but they did get him for tax evasion.
That's right.
So even if you have income from illicit activities, you should still pay your taxes.
Pay your taxes and keep good records.
All right. We're going to be right back to wrap things up. You're listening to Powell to the People on HealthyLife.net.
See straight and save. These days, everyone seems to see things differently. But from your eyes, you can see straight and save. Right now, get glasses online at 70% off at Glasses USA. There's a 100% guarantee, too, on top brand men, women, multifocal, and even prescription sunglasses. Visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Glasses USA, and you will see straight and save.
Okay, you're stressed. You need a little R&R. Wouldn't going to a spa help? There's all kinds of spas, too. Destination spas, medical spas, day spas, even dental and mobile spas. Where do you find the right spa at the right price? Oh, no, more stress? Well, not anymore. Visit spafinders.com. At spafinders.com, you'll find everything you need to know about spas from around the world. So de-stress. Click on spafinders.com right on our homepage. Ah. I'm feeling relaxed already.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to Powell to the People, live on HealthyLife.net. That's all the time we have. I want to thank my guest, Sylvia Gayed. This has been very informative and very educational for people that are considering doing their own taxes. Next week, we have Eve Kelso and Jan Buick from the Manhattan Beach Older Adults Program talking about all the excellent activities and events for older adults in Manhattan Beach and actually elsewhere. I want to thank you for listening to Powell to the People, and I want to leave you with a thought. If you believe in yourself, anything is possible. This is Wayne Powell sending you positive thoughts and good wishes. Have a great week. We'll see you back next Monday, same time, same place. Bye for now.